Live from the Reptile Room in the basement of the British Museum of Natural History in London, England, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour! 30 swinging minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, donkey basketball referee, and a man who once insured half the livers in Calhoun County, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring award-winning attorney, author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, sculptor, daredevil, international playboy, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestler champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Hey, it's...
I miss Barcelona. It's
best
muy
time,
bonita.
Best time of your life, right?
Well...
Second best.
Could have been better.
Gold would be better. I got it.
A little bit better. Yeah. A little bit better.
What do you think about that swinging opening?
That was nice. I felt like I was part of the Rat Pack.
You should have a martini in your hand when
you're listening. Darn right, yeah. And a smoke.
You ever drink martinis?
Yes.
Alan?
Never had a martini in my life.
Greg, with an olive?
Yes, it was.
Huh? Did you eat the olive?
No.
What's the point of an olive in it?
I don't know.
Other than just a garnish that looks nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess to add some saltiness to the drink or something. Could have. Wasn't it?
Yeah, could have. Tasted fine to me. Keep them coming.
When I asked that question, I didn't think to time it. Like within the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Oh, gosh. No, it's been a couple of years ago.
Oh, I thought you meant on a cruise.
No, I did not.
You know, that brings up the question. You were recently on a ship at sea.
Yes.
Ship at sea.
And
what was the name of the ship?
Sky.
What?
Sky.
Why not sea?
That's the name of the ship, Sky.
It's like Sky. Like naming your airplane water.
Well, okay.
All right. I you didn't name it, so I'm not holding that against you.
Well, thank you very much, Rick.
Why don't they name airplanes? I mean, they name ships.
They do.
Enola Gay.
Enola Gay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Spirit of St. Louis.
There you go.
Yeah. But I'm talking about
commercial airliners.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They just number them.
Yep.
747.
Coming out of the sky.
Anyway, so on this cruise that you started off where? L.A.?
No, Panama. We started in Panama.
On the Pacific side or Atlantic
Pacific
side?
Pacific side.
And what is the city there?
Panama City.
It is Panama City?
Yeah.
How big of a city is that?
Huge.
About 15,
the skyline.
15 feet.
The skyline
14.
Is amazing. It reminded you of New York City, the buildings they
You're
have
kidding.
There. No.
Panama City's that large?
Just the downtown area was amazing.
Will they rob you if you walk down the street?
No, it's pretty safe walking around. Wasn't too bad.
Did you rob anybody?
No.
It wasn't safe for anybody else.
So you got on an airplane in St. Louis and you flew to Panama City.
Yes. Well, we flew to Miami, then to Panama City.
Then Panama City.
Right, right.
Do you have to get malaria shots?
No. Well, that was a good question.
You have to have a passport?
Yes, we did. And we did.
Go back to that malaria question.
No, we did not have to have a
shot. That killed a lot of people down there building that.
Yeah, but nothing that, no shots were required.
They got that under control now.
But we had to check it out, yes.
Okay, so you fly to Miami, fly to Panama City, and then you hang out in Panama City for?
2 days.
2 days.
Took a nice tour.
And what did you see there?
Just the history of it, the old town,
that big statue of Teddy Roosevelt there?
No, but the Panama hat was big. They loved Teddy Roosevelt there. the churches are amazing.
Catholic well, yeah,
churches.
He
see
built.
The,
he
see
built,
the man in the yellow hat.
He built
and
the
his
only,
monkey.
He built the only thing that made money in South America.
Yeah, pretty much. And once they when they turned the actual canal over to him in 1999, in 1979 they signed the treaty, but it didn't take effect for 20 years. And so when that hit,
Katie barred the door.
You betcha. The building just went crazy. Sky rise. I mean, huge hotels, downtown, casinos everywhere. Just amazing downtown area. Like I say, it's a metropolitan area. But then you go to Costa Rica. That's not too bad of a country. That's modern, but not like Panama with the building there. And then you get into Belize, and it's just poverty. I mean, you know.
Or Belize is supposed to be like a really beautiful place. You
know? It is. The beaches are great, and the diving off Belize is just amazing. The water is so clear.
You just don't want to talk to anybody that lives there.
Probably not. Just saying.
Okay, here's a question for you, Greg.
Very good.
Back in the days of...
I wasn't done questioning him about his trip.
Okay. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you get on this boat.
The Sky.
Yeah. And I'm assuming there's like a harbor there Panama City somewhere.
Yeah.
And so then you get on the boat, and you immediately start locking through. So, like, you're on a boat, then it's not moving.
No, it takes we took out about 3 o'clock in the morning. It takes about 3 hours to get to the locks from Panama City.
Okay.
And so when you get to the locks, it was kind of cool because it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun wasn't up. There's another ship, Disney, was going through the other way on the newer canal.
Were they all drunk?
Well, they're hanging over the rails. So.
They weren't drunk, though. Seasick.
That could be. But anyway.
The water's not as clear in that part.
Correct. But then we were going through, and you had the, they have the little electric cars that go up and down.
Pull you through.
Yeah, there's two on each end.
They call them mules.
That's exactly right. But, I mean, we're so close to him. We were waving at the guy, taking his picture, and he was giving us thumbs up.
Or some other finger.
Well, that could have been, but in this situation, it wasn't. But anyway, so it took us about 8 hours to get through all the canals. There's about four lock and dams, four locks.
8 hours is all it took to go from Atlantic to Pacific?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that.
I wouldn't have thought that
either. You passed through the Panama Canal in a total of 8 hours?
About 8 hours, 6 o'clock to about 2 o'clock, yeah.
Well, no wonder they considered it a good thing.
But but it cost the ship to go through $107,000. $107,000, yes. And they have to reserve that time a year ahead because there's such a long wait now because of the drought. They don't lock and the ships through as quickly as they used to.
Yeah, I was hearing about that. A lot of your cargo ships are, you know, complaining about that.
Oh, some of the cargo
and
ships.
And they won't even let them be as full as normal
exactly.
Because they can't draft as much.
Exactly.
Because not only is there the channel with the canal, a lot of it uses like natural lakes.
That's what they had to do. They engineered the lakes, Lake Gutan, and I think that's the biggest lake. It's getting down, but they're building new lakes, but it's getting a little too late. Now, the newer locks, you don't have, they can reuse the water. But the older locks are
but
still.
You were on this ship for like 2 weeks, weren't you?
11 days.
Did you just go back and forth through the canal the whole time?
No, we went up the Atlantic side of Central America through Mexico.
You stopped along the way?
We stopped.
Shout and get some drugs in
Costa
Mexico?
Rica, Belize. there's another stop, and we didn't get to go in the stop in Cozumel, Mexico, because it was too windy. And we were on the front of the ship. Our room was in the front of the ship. It's like a pleasure boat when it takes off, it voom, voom. Well, it's like a big drum beating on that thing in the front of the ship. You just whoom.
Did you stand out with your hands out going, I'm king of the world?
Well, we almost could from a room. We had the front view of the boat from our room. It was amazing. So we had the very good view. We had the side.
So you
were
somebody on this tour.
We had a nice cabin.
Let me ask you this. How many passengers were there?
912.
912, okay. And all nationalities?
No, mostly American. But we were probably the
youngest ones on there?
Pretty close. There's
wow.
a few couples that were younger, but yeah.
Wow.
We were in the minority.
That's
creepy.
Really old.
Yes,
that's really
is.
Creepy.
It
I
is.
Don't know if I'd
A lot
like
of wheelchairs
that.
And canes and...
Okay, are you done questioning Greg? Because I'm going to now.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tarantino.
Okay,
Greg.
Back in the old days, back when Love Boat was on, right?
Yep.
They would, the passengers, were always, they always went to, they had their tables assigned to them, and you'd sit at the same table with the same people throughout the cruise.
We did that our first cruise ever, with about same eight people. And you got to know them, and it was okay. But these cruises, you don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Our first one that we went on was like that, and it had three different couples that were on the table with us. And one of them was...
more obnoxious than you?
I don't think that could ever happen, could it?
No, it was a newlywed couple. They booked their honeymoon on the tour, right?
Ooh.
Except that the wedding fell through. She had like walked out on the guy at the altar type thing. But they had already paid for the cruise, so they went on this cruise together.
Well, that's ignorant.
Neither one of them would give up the ticket to the other one.
Okay.
So they're on this cruise together. They're sitting like at the dining table with us, and neither one of them will talk to the other one throughout the whole course of the cruise.
Wow.
They sat at the table. They were at the table.
That's usually not until 5 years in.
But they're not even sitting together.
Wow.
Wow.
So then there's another young couple.
That would have made a great episode.
That would have been fantastic. Oh, yeah. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, of course, in the end, they would fall in love on the Love Boat.
Yeah, they didn't.
That didn't happen.
They didn't.
No.
They never made it.
No,
up, huh?
Not at all.
Wow.
And would you talk to them?
At the table, they did. At the table, they
asked him to pass the pepper, would you please?
They didn't sit next to each other. They sat across from each other with the other couples between them.
Wow.
And when they wanted something, would they turn to you and say, would you ask Marion... if I could have the salt
place? Ask that piece of trash whether or not he can give me the salt.
That's just too hard to believe. That's amazing.
You're making this up.
No, that's
unbelievable.
And then we had the other couple. It weren't really a couple. It was two guys who were traveling by themselves. But one of them was an Elvis impersonator.
All right.
And he went around. I mean, he had his hair cut and he looked like Elvis. And
all
the
time.
He was in Elvis mode all the time.
Wow. He went over the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And to where, you get down. And everyone called him Elvis. I mean, you know, and he was fine with that. But I have no idea what his real name was. But somehow he weasels his way into actually getting to do his act on the ship, even though he wasn't booked and they weren't paying him, right? So the other guy at the table who's going along with him is an old guy, like Greg's age. And he's sitting there.
And he's trying to sign him to a 50% contract?
Well, he's been in show business or knew enough about the business to know this cruise was taking advantage of him, that he should not be performing for free for them, that he should be getting paid. So we call him the Colonel after that.
Oh, sure.
Elvis and the Colonel.
That was my implication on the 50% deal.
Yes, we had Elvis and the Colonel throughout the trip. The other couple was a young couple. They were, I don't think it was their honeymoon, but they were pretty freshly married. They had an adventure, though. They stopped at Martinique. Martinique is half Dutch and half French. And the French half is liberal on their beaches, right? So these two go to one of Greg's beaches.
There you go.
You know, and disrobe.
The sexy beach.
Ah.
Except somebody stole their clothes.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
What did they do about that then?
That was a problem, apparently.
They cut some palm leaves and...
No, what they... There was a...
Walked into town?
No, there was the... there were shops and stuff there. And someone had mercy on them and gave them each a St. Martin t-shirt. No, t-shirt. They apparently came back in t-shirts. I didn't see this. They were telling us this later. But, you know, they didn't have their IDs to get back on the boat.
Oh, well,
of course
that's
not.
That's problematic yeah. then.
They didn't have it hanging around their neck?
No, but
or
I guess they had a good enough story. They must have had their names tattooed on their wrists or something, so the boat let them back on. Somehow assisted them in getting their IDs back.
Wow.
Stole their clothes.
Yeah. Well, they'll steal anything down at those islands. You're supposed to never leave your stuff unattended.
And, oh, man. I mean, why would they take off their clothes and leave their IDs laying anywhere?
They apparently went in the ocean.
I'm just saying that's That's a
well, when you go,
mistake of youth.
When you, no, well, well, no, you don't think about that. Let's assume you go to the beach and it's not a naked beach, right? You know, it's just regular beach. When you go out in the water, you're not taking your wallet with you. You stuff it in your shoe and pretend like it's safe there. What are you looking at me like that for? It's what everyone on Earth does.
I don't.
You take your wallet in the water with you? Or you okay, just don't go in the ocean?
Don't go in the ocean. Period.
Greg, you've swam in the ocean.
We take a bag with us with our possessions.
Sand.
We put our possessions, towels, and
I don't like going to the
suntan
beach.
Lotion and whatever.
You don't take it in the water with you,
though. I don't like the sound of the waves.
Leave it at the chairs.
You leave it at the chairs. You trust people. You don't think they're going to
just... Well, we had this big guy that was saying, don't worry about your stuff. Well, we kind of worried about stuff after we saw that.
Because he's the guy who's going to take it.
So you just got to trust people, I guess. But we didn't have any issues. And we had our clothes on.
Did you see recently that they had this phenomenon out in California called the King Waves or King Surf, to where it's this super high waves
that was
are coming
in.
That
was in L.A., wasn't it?
L.A. and all the way down to San Diego. But what was different about it is, you know, most of the time when you get these big waves, they're associated with the storm. But
right.
In this case,
it was sunny.
You know, they had sunny skies and giant waves, and the surfers were just like thicker than, you know, like ticks on a dog. I mean, they were just
ticks on a dog. Okay,
they were
Midwest story
everywhere. It just blew my mind that they were willing to go out there and risk their lives for, you know, just riding on a board.
Got a commercial?
Do you
for
have
us?
A commercial? Yeah,
I got a commercial.
Well, then go ahead.
Today's episode is brought to you by Canoli's Canine Cough Drops.
Oh, okay.
Do you spend night after night covering your ears listening to your favorite dog hack and gag and cough?
Hey, Rick, you think those work on my wife?
She hack and gag and cough?
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, I'd try them.
Okay.
You know, here's
I'd do the same thing you do with your basset hound. Put her out.
I'll remember that.
You're going to the backyard, Lisa.
You know, truth be told, most of the medicines they give animals are exactly the same medicines they give
sure
humans.
They are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd say you're probably okay.
Thank
Just
you.
Don't tell her it's dog cough drops.
Right.
So, is your dog hack and gag and cough? Well, suffer no more. Or, more accurately, have your dog suffer no longer. Give Fido, or Lisa, one of Canoli's canine cough drops and watch him or her quiet right down. Canolis come in one of three flavors that dogs love: black cherry, soothing menthol, or baby rabbit. I'd go with black cherry on Lisa. Before you know it, you'll be watching TV in peace while your dog lays at your feet, quietly sucking a cannoli.
Ooh, that's
Canoli's
nice.
Canine cough drops. When your dog's coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli.
You know, that they make, like, cannabis-infused dog treats now?
Oh, yeah.
Because it cures everything.
Can you get those at Denny's?
Yeah.
Okay.
That just strikes me as wrong.
It is.
What, cannabis?
Giving cannabis to your dog for pizza.
Oh, they used to, you know, blow joint smoke up a cat's nose, just our ears. Just
who did that?
Oh, did that, you know, college. Yeah, a cat and then just can't wait. No, it wasn't me.
What's this?
Where's I saw disc- another guy do it once.
No,
animals were harmed in the production.
Absolutely not.
Episode.
Felt good. Just, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys used to play video games like back in the 80s?
Pong.
Asteroids.
Do you ever play Tetris?
No.
Where you have the blocks.
The blocks that fall and drop
down. And they drop
slots.
Down.
Yeah,
you try and get them in the slot, and it, you know, erases them as you go down.
Tetris was about the last level of game I could play.
Tetris, there was a story in the news this week. There's a 13-year-old kid got to the end of Tetris. He went as far as the game was designed to go. He completed every level of Tetris.
And then he went,
what's next?
Do I get anything for that, man? No. What was the point?
Yeah. It should have been, you know, like, it appears on the screen, you've just won $100,000 for being the first person to ever reach the end of Tetris.
You now get control of the internet. Ready Player One.
My question is, how much time has this kid spent
I was just
doing this
at the screen to his parents playing ever Tetris?
Say,
and what are his grades at school?
You know, Timmy, it'd be nice if maybe once in a while he went out and saw the sky.
You know, does he have any friends?
There the answer to that is no.
Does he have a dog that he can blow smoke up its nose?
No, ears.
Does he have a girlfriend? Does he have anything? Does he have a life?
Well, he started out when he's 7 years old. And how old is he now?
13.
13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 6 years. The answer, 6 years.
What was the game that your son was playing that he woke you up from your sleep saying, I can't, I keep seeing in my sleep?
It was some, I'm trying to think, it was like a circle where this, where a little light thing walked around it while spears came up from the middle of nowhere and would attack. And you had to keep rolling around the edge of this.
I remember when that was a video game.
There. Yeah, you roll around it and shoot the
things
spears
that are coming up out. It's like coming up out of a well.
Yeah, and it never stops, and it goes faster and faster, and more things come up, so that it's designed to drive you insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, my son.
Got the job done.
I can't. I just can't stop thinking about it.
Wow.
That's when you take the video games away for a little while.
Yeah, son, you need to go play some baseball.
Baseball.
Stickball. Wiffle ball.
That was a great game.
The wiffle ball.
Playing corkball.
Corkball?
Yes.
What are you, New York City?
No.
Playing out in the street?
When we were in first grade, went to one room school. They had a corkball bat at the school, but no corkball.
Yes.
And we never played a game of corkball in our life.
We had it on the playground at the school I went to.
Did you play kick the can a lot, too?
Yes, we did. Like three blocks.
Dennis has a corkball out at the market.
Yeah.
It's small, but it looks like it's laced up like a baseball.
Right.
Who could hit that?
It's hard.
You got a little skinny bat and a little tiny ball, and you're playing corkball.
It's really hard. No, we played kick a can. We had the whole neighborhood playing. It's like, 10, 15 kids.
Over the can on Greg.
Yep.
It's like he's describing being part of the Little Rascals.
It was. It, growing up in that neighborhood was. I mean, we'd have huge games.
Which one were you? Were you Alfalfa?
No.
Spanky.
Well, I could have been. Spanky was a cool one.
Spanky was this like the leader.
He's the leader.
Yeah, Alfalfa was the one that was always in love with Darla.
Yeah, Darla.
Darla.
Yeah. And now who's the bully? I can't remember.
No, he was always
Froggy. Was
Froggy.
That
Froggy.
No, the bully wore like a go to hell hat.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a go to hell hat. It was a hat with had the like spiky things. Corners all the way around the thing.
Yeah.
No, that was a different bully. I know which one you're talking about, but his name was
Stymie. We had Stymie. Buckwheat.
They were like, Little Rascals went on for probably 10 or 15 years. They were like
Jackie Cooper was in Little Rascals.
There was like three iterations of them.
He was the one that could cry.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was capable of crying.
Yeah, they don't tell you how that was accomplished.
Yeah, they were rubbing like spices in his eyes and stuff like that.
No, they were sticking a little twig way up his tear duct before
that was
the
last
shot.
Last episode.
Yum, yum, eat him up.
Oh, by the way, this is episode number
33, isn't it?
33, which is the
Louisiana Armbar. What does that consist of? I can't see it from here.
Well, you get their arm. You know what an arm bar is?
No.
Well, then it's technically unexplainable.
Well, if you're a wrestling coach, that's how you're going to teach your kids?
If you're a natural-born wrestler, you just know what you're doing. You just...
See,
who was your wrestling coach at high school?
Richard Montgomery.
Real?
Yeah.
Pretty good?
Could you take him?
No, I mean, like, he was a big, huge, hulking guy. I was wrestling 112.
Was Larry Clark wrestling when you were?
Yeah.
So he's wrestling heavyweight, right?
He was heavyweight.
Did he lose?
Oh, God, no. He was a conference champion.
Yeah.
Did you ever wrestle him?
During one wrestling practice, he broke my arm.
So not after that?
He stepped on it.
Oh.
I have some vague recollection of you and him wrestling in the diner.
That was a show. That wasn't, yeah. I'll tell you that story later. That ended.
Cornia Dennis, there's a little bit more strange to that story from what
professional
I hear.
Professional wrestling was a big thing at the time.
Well, yeah.
But it wasn't like professional wrestling now, which is just nonsense. It was real. Bulldog Bob Brown. And
wanted to have some fish.
Harley Race.
Harley Race, yeah.
Those were real wrestlers.
Dick the Bruiser.
Dick the Bruiser.
Best wrestling name ever.
And it wouldn't take much to change it to Rick the Bruiser.
Oh, Lord.
The 22nd loser.
What?
Oh, we had this guy that was on our wrestling team. And, oh, gosh, what was that? I'm trying to think, what is it? Oh, Willie. I won't use his real last name. Johnson. But Willie.
You know, except his first name was really Craig.
Willie, whoa. You know, was always bragging about, you know, what a good wrestler he was and stuff like that. And he went out, he got pinned in 15 seconds. And even though he was on our team, we had this chant, Willie the Bruiser, 15-second loser.
Whoa.
And we would do it on the bus on the way home.
Oh, man.
Children are cruel.
You have to wonder, do they learn the art of tormenting other children?
Oh, you know they do. Kids are kids. Oh, we're around. Well,
they're not allowed to anymore, though, are you?
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking that anything still goes on the bus.
I think the bus, yeah. All rules go away.
I got one quick question for you. Do you remember the name of the bus driver that drove from Fieldon to Jerseyville?
Squirrel.
I was telling my wife that.
Marty Squirrel.
She said, what did you just say? I said, well, the squirrel drove the bus. What was his name? Squirrel. That's all anyone ever called him.
Everybody on the bus called him Squirrel.
Hey, Squirrel.
Do you know his real
Marty
name?
Marty Squirrel. Not to this day.
No,
I
have no
name.
Idea. Couldn't wow. tell you. Squirrel.
I never questioned it.
No, I didn't either.
So you guys had two buses? One to pick you up, and then you had to meet it at another place and go to Jerseyville?
Yes.
Where was the meeting place?
Fielding. St. Mary's.
Well, St. Mary's?
Sometimes it was Fielding Grade School, depending on the year.
Really?
Yeah. When I first started, it was at St. Mary's, and then it started being at Fielding School.
Wow. Didn't know that. I just thought you got on one.
But there would be a bus that was gathering a bunch of, you know, the grade school through high school kids in that area, and then they would come to the Fielding Grade School, and they'd drop off the grade school kids.
Except the Catholic kids who had to be taken to Jerseyville.
Had to go to Jerseyville. So then we'd get on that bus and go the rest of the way into town.
Wow.
Getting an education was complicated, really, yeah. Greg. Logistically.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had a guy like Squirrel who was willing to dedicate his life to driving us.
That was pretty cool.
And his system was that he had a good radio, he turned it up, and he never interfered with what went on the bus.
So he didn't. There was no discipline on the bus?
Oh, no.
Self-imposed.
No. And
he didn't fight it. You know, he didn't, you know, like, now everybody settle down, everybody, you know, stay in your assigned seats. There's none of that. Just, you know, it's like water, found its own level.
Just don't bother him. You know, if you're going to torment kids, don't torment them to the point where they really start screaming and yelling to where he has to intervene.
Yeah, I don't see where a bus driver's name being Squirrel is so weird. After we had already finished school, and Brad's bus driver's name was Weasel.
just a different marmot.
Weasel.
Weasel Den Weasel?
Yeah.
He drove the bus?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
And what he would do is when he would get to, you know, our house at the farm, well, we weren't there anymore, but Brad was, he would drive past the house and make Brad say, hey, hey, hey.
And then make him walk?
Yeah, he wouldn't back up.
So Brad had to walk a little bit?
You know, nowadays they'd probably frown on a bus driver doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Depends on the kid.
But I would think that if your bus driver's name was Weasel, right, you have to come to expect that kind of thing.
So weren't you guys the first to be picked up and the last to be dropped off?
Just about. Pretty close. Now, we had one bus driver. I remember it's snow day, right? It snowed, so they're letting school out early. And at some point, she's driving through these country roads and makes the decision that it's just too snowy for her to go on and puts all the kids out in, like, geez, like a foot deep snow in a blizzard and said, you're just going to have to walk from here.
Wow.
It was like Little House on the Prairie.
And it was a good mile and a half.
Oh, yeah.
So you could actually tell your kids we walked a mile and a half
through deep snow.
One time.
That is 100%. I'm guessing they would frown on that for a bus driver nowadays.
I would think
so. Oh, wow. Yeah. Absolutely. Where's my kid?
Well, did you know we're out of time?
Are we?
Yes, we are. Yep.
Well, what do you know?
Yep. Well, guys.
It's been real.
Yeah, it has. Nice stories.
It's like getting to the end of Tetris.
It is.
It is Tetris.
We've accomplished something here tonight.
Maybe.
Now we own the internet.
Yeah, not really.
No, I don't want to be responsible for that.
That's too much.
See you later.
From Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
And Tetris.
Gator.
Gator. Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.